Geras HaTshuva Perek Zayin. So we left off in the last line of Perek Vav, the very end of Perek Vav. He told us that the goal is to return not only to Hashem, but return with Hashem. The way he explained the pasuk in the Tzavim, V'shav Hashem Lokecha Es Shvuscha, means Im Shvuscha, to return along with Hashem. And he quoted the Gemara in Megillah of Testament Aleph, V'heishiv lo namar. It doesn't say V'heishiv, that Hashem brought back, but rather V'shav Hashem Elokecha, that Hashem Himself came back. So he explained very beautifully, very poetically, very powerful images last week. We describe what it was like, that the mother was taken into captivity, that the hay was detached from its supernal source, it was taken into the dungeon of the Sitra Achra, and you became Melech of the Sitra Achra. Very frightening imagery, and then we explain that this is the whole avodah of Tashuv Hay, to try to reconnect the hay back to Hashem's name, and in that way, to allow Kvod Shemayim to reveal itself. Okay, now if you look, five lines up, right before Perek Zayin begins, these last couple of lines of Perek Vav said, Kisha Adam Ose Tshuva Nachona, when a person does proper tshuva, correct tshuva, then he's able to reconnect. Okay, but what is tshuva nachona? So in Perek Zayin, he's going to go on, he's going to tell us two ways that in fact we actually work on this. Because we want to do tshuva nachona. Look how Perek Zayin begins. V'ulam derech ha'emes v'hayashar l'v'chinas tshuva tata. The truthful and straight path to this lower level tshuva, tshuva tata, meaning the hey tata, the lower hey, yud hey, vav hey, like we described last week, the hey that has become detached. Right? Hey is the sphere of Malchus, we said. It's the lower feminine letter, so to speak, of Hashem's name, and was dragged through the mud. So if we want to come back to the true and straight path of tshuva, heim beis dvarim derechla, we need to know the following two things. Okay? One is more of a positive nature, and one is more of a negative nature. One is more of a proactive, try to do something nature, and one is a try to stop doing something nature. What do I mean? Ha'echad hu, la'orer rachamim ha'alyonim mimekor harachamim. We're trying, first of all, hispashtus, to do something, to spread outward. To spread what outward? To spread outward a spirit of rachim, to awaken rachamim elyonim, heavenly mercy, mekor harachamim, from the root of all that is, that rachmanis comes from. And I'm awakening this rachmanis on what? Al nishmaso v'nafsho alokis. Have rachmanis on yourself. Meaning what? Meaning, take pity on the fact that you're not supposed to be the king of the Sitra Achra, and you're not supposed to be living in some rat-infested dungeon, even if you're given kavod from the other rats. You know what I'm saying? Have rachmanis on yourself. You're better than that. Have rachmanis on your neshama, the godly spirit within yourself, and recognize, wow, how low have I fallen? Ah, but I'm still alive. I'm being sustained. Yeah, we spoke last week how a person's being sustained from the Sitra Achra. And a person's being sustained in a roundabout way, but not from the source of true life. So that's Rachmanis. You can say a person, like a simple mashal, a person whose every meal is provided for him by a soup kitchen. So on the one hand, you could say, well, I'm as good as the rich guy. The rich guy has a credit card with seemingly no limits. So he's able to buy himself a bowl of soup for lunch as much as he wants, and I also get a bowl of soup every day for lunch. Right? But it's Rachmanis. It's Rachmanis on the person who has to go and take a handout as opposed to the person who can afford to buy whatever he'd like. So therefore, a person could say, well, I'm alive. What difference does it make? If I'm living this way, if I'm living that way, the difference is, am I living from the Hashpas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Yurkei Vavkei, as it's expressing itself through the Olamos, or have I abandoned Hashem and now I'm feeding off the Sitra Achra? So have Rachmanas on yourself and recognize, he says, Shenafla, your neshama, which is Nafla me'igra rama, Chai ha'chayim baruch hu, which has fallen from what? From igra rama, from the highest heights, where it was connected to the source of true life, and now it's fallen labira amikta, to a deep bore, to a deep pit. Heinechalos Atuma Vasitra Acha. You've fallen into the what? Into the dungeon, into the Heichalos, into the domain of Tuma and Sitra Acha. So have Rachmanis on yourself. And sometimes Digim or Madaik in this, it doesn't just say you fell Mi'igra Labira. That's also a big fall. If you fall from a tower to a pit, that's a big fall. But here we have to view it, Ki'ilu, we fell from the tallest tower, from the highest building, to the deepest pit. So have Rachmanis on yourself, and the Chelak Elokam Imao. So he continues. See, the way I marked it in mine, you see this Va'al Mekorah? In the third line of Perek Zayin, right, he says there's two things we need to do. One is to be Ma'orer Rachamim. Now, being Ma'orer Rachamim on what? So he says in the fourth line, Al Nishmaso, and he explains what that means. And now here in the sixth line, he says, Ve'al Mekorah Mekorah Chaim. You hear what he's saying? He's saying, have Rachmanis on your Neshama, as you, the way you think of you as you, but also have Rachmanis on yourself, in the sense that what? That you are the Al Mekor of Mekor Achayim. Have Rachmanis on what? On Hashem who is within you. It's the same thing, but he's saying it two different ways to get us to resonate with us. He's saying a person needs to be Ore Rachamim. You can underline the two phrases, right? In the fourth line, he says Al Nishmaso V'Nafsho Halokis, and then in the sixth line, he says Va'Al Mekorah B'Mekor Achayim. It's the same thing. He's saying have Rachmanis on your neshama, and have Rachmanis on the source of your life. That is your neshama. It's the same thing. He's saying no. Do it for you and do it for God. Do it for you. Have Rachmanis on yourself that you. Again, however you think of yourself as a person, as a human being, flesh and blood, with an neshama inside, right? Have Rachmanis on Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. I have to say to myself, have Rachmanis on Moshe Tzvi. That's what I have to say to myself. But then I also have to say to myself, hold on, but what is Moshe Tzvi? Moshe Tzvi is not defined by his body, or how he looks, or the color of his hair, or the color of his eyes, or how tall he is, how much he weighs, right? But the real essence of Moshe Tzvi is the fact that I have a chelek elokami mal mamish inside of myself, a divine spark. And that divine spark, which is me, it's my essence, it's my neshama, but it's not really me. It's a piece of God inside of me. So don't only have rachmanis on yourself, have rachmanis on Hashem. You hear what he's saying? You know how I know he's saying that? Because look what he writes. V'al makor v'makor achayim. Right? Again, have rachmanis, be awakened the rachamim on the makor v'makor achayim. Hushem Avaya Baruch Hu, have Rachmanis on Shem Hashem, on Hashem Himself. Like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Vayashov El Hashem V'Yirachameim. Here's how I know that I think I'm telling you something emes. Because if you look in the Torah Or, from the Baal Tanya and Parshas Vayechi, he has a famous explanation of this. Of this Pasuk, Vayashov El Hashem V'Yirachameim. And he talks very. I had a Havamina. I pulled out my Torah last night. I was looking at it inside. I had a Havamina to photocopy it and just learn that piece and stop here for the day. And he gets the truth. But I want to keep moving. So I'll tell it to you. The Yesod is that he says a person has to have Rachmanis on Hashem. Not the Hashem who's what? Who's transcendent, who's somewhere out there. But have Rachmanis on Hashem who's inside you. That means when you go to a place that a Jew doesn't belong, or you have a thought that a Jew shouldn't have, and Hashem inside of you is getting schlepped along with that, have Rachmanis on him. Right? You wouldn't take your Rebbe to that place. You wouldn't take your parents to that place. You wouldn't take anyone who is a self-respecting person to that place. And I'm talking not only a physical place, going to that allegorical place, wherever it is that we're going, in speech, in thought, in action, whatever it is. Right, so have Rachmanis. Why should Hashem have to be put into such a situation? That's the Vayashov El Hashem V'Rachameihu. Okay, so again, he's saying the same thing twice. Have Rachmanis on your neshama, and have Rachmanis on the makor of your neshama, which is the same thing. But have Rachmanis on yourself, mitzad. I think the Basar V'Dam, as a human being, you're better than that. You're a yid. You're better than that. You can't allow yourself to live in such a carefree way. And if you say, "But I'm just a human being of flesh and blood," so who cares? At the end of the day, I'm just a human, so I'm bound to make mistakes, and I have taivas, etc., etc. So then have Rachmanis on Hashem. Why should Hashem have to go to that place? Why should Hashem have to see the things that you're choosing to see with your eyes? Why should Hashem have to hear the words that you're choosing to hear with your ears? Why should the neshama that's been placed inside you have to go through that? So have Rachmanis on that. Perish. Seven lines in. First word of the line. Perish. Le'ore rachim ha'ashba shim b'vaya baruchu. Have Rachmanis on the fact that Hashem Kiviyachol is working so hard to send down Yudkei Vavkei to this world. And now you've dragged it down, right, into the depths of Tumah. Hatameim lachayosim. You're dragging it into the Sitra Achra, the unholy Sitra Achra. And that's where it's drawing its sustenance from. And it's your bad actions and your bad thoughts and your bad behaviors that are causing Yudkei Vavkei to be what? To be taken into captivity, like we described in Parak Vav. As the Pasuk says, again, a very powerful image in Shir HaShirim in the 7th Parak, Melech Asur Baratim. The king who is literally jailed in chains. Chabad Sfarim talk a lot about this. Rav Soloveitchik used to talk a lot about this. Because Rav Soloveitchik, as a child, in his Chabad Cheder, in Chaslavich, when he had his Chabad Malamed, who was teaching him Torah as a kid, he painted this picture, Mamish, this Pasuk exactly, Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Vav. His Chabad Malamed painted this picture of the king in chains. The king was jailed in chains, and the avodah of a Jew in Rosh Hashanah is what? Is to declare HaMelech once again. Imagine, the king who was so powerful once upon a time, the kingdom has been ransacked, has been overthrown, the king himself has been schlepped away, dragged away in chains, and the avodah of Rosh Hashanah, coronatio, is to once again crown the king, to be Mamlech the Melech once again. But in what way is he in chains? Says the Zohar Kadosh, explaining this, Berihite Mocha, the chains of your mind. Because the neshama is chained to you. The chelak elokam imal, the divine spark is chained to you. So wherever you go, it's going. So v'yashov el Hashem v'yachameh, have rachmanis on Hashem. Why should Hashem have to hear those words or do those actions? Why should Hashem's not leaving you? He's sticking it out. You can't say, you know, neshama, you stay here, I'll be back in a little bit. He comes along for the ride. So have rachmanis. Yibachinas galas hashchina, and that is the galas hashchina. When we allow, again, our neshama to be taken into the chains that the melech, that the hei tata, malchus, the final hei, which corresponded, we said, to the sphere of malchus, is now in chains by the sitra achra. Okay? Let's hear some comments. Yeah.
So I guess, like, I kind of understand it as that what you said, but you're like, if Hashem is everything and nothing exists without Hashem.
Yeah.
Hashem's kind of exposed to bad things out of here.
Yes.
So like, what's the added?
Hashem makes himself very vulnerable.
So it makes sense to have Rachmanis on ourselves that we should put ourselves in a situation where we're doing that.
Right.
But the part of like Abba Kor Chaim, I just don't understand that part.
So why doesn't Hashem leave?
Not why does Hashem leave, but Hashem, whether or not we're doing an action or not, Hashem still, so to say, exposed it to him. Like, what's the added hope of that? When we're doing it with Hashem trapped in our mind.
Why is that adding a dimension?
Yeah.
Because again, I can try to convince you why you should be embarrassed to do this if it was just you. And I can all the more so convince you why you would be embarrassed to do this if your parents were standing there.
Okay.
So that's what he's adding. He's saying, have Rachmanis on Hashem. Realize that the you, which already you should have Rachmanis on, is the Chelek Elokam Yimal inside of you. And have Rachmanis on that divine spark. Okay? Yeah, quick. Let's hear it.
That thing that you just said about
the king in chains.
No, the one before that about Hashem's not apart from just Hashem, but like he's also inside us.
Right.
Was that like just what you were learning from here, or did somebody else think that?
No, I mean that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's very clear in the first section of the Tanya, right? That the Baal Tanya very clearly says that the divine spark inside of you is exactly that. It's Hashem. It's Hashem supplanting himself in this world, in your body, and yeah. But it's for sure. I mean, it's for sure. He's building off of that idea here, 100%. The Makor HaChayim, which is within man. Okay, Vizman Amasugal is that 4 lines from the bottom. Huvatikun Chatzos. The ideal time to work on this is by Tikun Chatzos, as it says in the Siddur B'ha'ara, as it says in the Siddur, the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal Tanya, in the Ha'ara, in the footnote over there, or in the note over there, Ayin Shin Beis, Ayin Sham Barichas. There's a lot there. Okay. V'zesh akosav sham. But this is what it means in the fifth parak of Eicha. Nafla teres roshenu oy nalanu kichatanu. The crown has fallen off of our head. Right, the keser, the top of the spheros, and the malchus, the bottom of the spheros, there's a disconnect that our sins have caused us to lose our crown. Very painful words. In Pirkei Echolos, in Kabbalistic writings, we find that Hashem is called a melech aluv, a rejected king, a disgraced king, right? A king without a crown. Melech aluv, an embarrassed king, a forgotten king. I want to read you a line. I want to read you the very, very painful line from Tanya and Perach of Dalet. Okay? The end of Tanya and Perach of Dalet, he says words which I get the chills every time I see them, because it's such to even associate a melech basar adam going through this, all the more so when you understand that the melech in this mashal that he describes here is alluding to melech malchei melech makadosh baruch and what we do to Hashem every time we do an avera. Listen to these words. It's mamish the last couple of lines of Tanya Perach of Dalet. You don't have it in front of you, obviously. Who can mashal? It's like the mashal of ha'ochez beroshu shel melech. It's like a person who grabs a king by his head, umorido lamata, and you push his head down. V'tomein panav b'soch beis akise malitzoa, and you stick a shem. You stick the melech. You stick the melech's head literally into a toilet filled with feces. She'ein lacha al elbon gadol mizeh. There's no greater way. There's no greater way to disgrace a king who sat on a throne, who wore a crown on his head, to literally take that same head and to stuff it into a toilet. Afilu osakein lefisha. Sorry. She'ein lacha elbon gadol mizeh. Afilu osakein lefisha. There's nothing more disgraceful than that, even if it's only for a moment. Why? He wore a crown on his head for 40 years. And he had his head in a toilet for 40 seconds. But you understand that those 40 seconds erased those 40 years. Kipshuto. Shaklipos v'sitra achra nikres ki tzoa kanoda. He ends Perach of Dalet of Tanya by saying that the klipos and the sitra achra we've been describing, the dark side, the dark forces, so to speak, are referred to in Svarim as what? As the filth of tzoa, feces, literally. So therefore, a person who does an avera, literally, it's like taking the melech, it's taking that final hay of Hashem's name, malchus, and literally sticking it into the dirtiest, most disgusting, repulsive places. Kamasha kosef haramak, like Moshe Cordovero writes, turn the page, top of the next page, ki ein lecha elbon gadol mizeh, because there's nothing more disgraceful than this. If we would just meditate for a minute a day on this imagery, I think we'd be much more successful at controlling certain yitzharas. I think if we would think for a second, right? You know, at what expense am I going to enjoy a particular yitzhara? At what cost to the melech? To what degree am I prepared to disgrace the melech and to drag him through the mud? I think this image, I like the sense that this imagery is so powerful that it could actually help us to want to be better Jews. Yeah. How could I ever face the king again? Right. How could I ever once again prove to the king that I'm a loyal subject? If once I grab. Okay. We're gonna have to believe in the power of tshuva. Right now we're trying to understand the severity of the chet. But you're right. It can be paralyzing to think that I ever was responsible for doing this to the melech. Again, just thinking olam hazeh imagery, and it's frightening. Alach is kam v'kam when you begin to say kiviyachol kiviyachol lahavdil lahavdil that I could do such a thing to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ubeprat kasher yizbon in hamaschel begedulas ein sof baruch Hu, and exactly like Rob was just saying, all the more so when a person meditates on the greatness of Hashem, the ein sof baruch Hu, the endless, the limitless abilities of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, whose mem chaf ayin memale kol almin, he fills all worlds. And he surrounds all worlds. He is all worlds. He's everything. Each person, according to his understanding of how serious this is, Yismarmer alzeh ma'od ma'od. Will feel very, very, very broken over this. Even a person who barely understands the fullness, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But again, even if this happened to a king of flesh and blood, we would feel horrible. Well, the more so if it happened to God, even if I have no understanding what God is, what Hashem is. Okay? So the first thing we need to do, this is also Aleph. Again, he said there's two ways to come to the Derech HaEmes VaYashar in Tshuva. Or what he called at the end of the last parak, Tshuva Nechona. Number one, Rachmanis. On who? On yourself. Right? And on the divine spark within you. It's the same thing. That's stage one. Okay? Secondly, Vahabez. Number one is you have to want to free your soul from captivity. You have to want to free Hashem from captivity. Again, all the images we had in Perek Vav. Because of Rachmanis on your soul. Rachmanis on Hashem. But second of all, a person has to be proactive in wanting to destroy the Sitra Achra. You have to once again learn how to love yourself again. You have to learn how to hate the Sitra Achra. Ohavei Hashem, if you really love Hashem, then sinu ra, then you hate wicked things. You have to want to destroy the klipa and destroy the Sitra Achra, so that the king will never be chained again to the jail. That he'll never be taken into captivity again. So therefore, again, fourth line. Levateish lachnia klipa v'sitra achra. Asher kol chiyusa hirak b'chinas gasus v'agba. The way of the sitra achra is to live a life of what? Of haughtiness. A life where the sitra achra is full of itself. Where it believes that it's an independent entity. I mentioned that vart. I told you that vart. I think it was two Sundays ago. I mentioned the vart from the Kubriner, from Rav Moshe of Kubrin. That one of my good friends likes to always say. The Kubriner said that when Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Omed, that I am standing between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Kubriner said, to whatever degree a person feels a sense of Anochius, of my individuality, that I am my own thing in an inappropriate way. We spoke yesterday about individuality in an inappropriate way. But when a person says, I'm my own entity, and I don't need Rabbona Sholem, I don't need nobody, so that gaiva, right? That he's describing it, this gasus v'hagbav, lifting oneself up with pride and with haughtiness. Right? That is the chiyus, he says, that is the strength of the sitra achra. Of course, the Sfarim all tell us that the root of all negativity, of all evil, is a malik. And the gematria of a malik is 240, which is Ram. Right? Ram. The pasuk says in the Torah, v'ram levavcha, if your heart is elevated, is haughty, v'shachachtas Hashem Elokecha. So becoming haughty, becoming a bal gaiva, is one of the best ways to disconnect and distance yourself from Hashem. So to daf hey, ein ani vahu, he and I can't be in the same world. Ram is gematria amalek, 240.
Before that, I'm still on Kabriner.
The Kabriner says that anochi, the pasuk says anochi om, Moshe says, I am standing between you and Hashem. So Pashup Shad is Moshe saying, I, Moshe, am standing between you and Hashem. The Kubriner explained that to whatever degree there's a sense of I that gets between you and Hashem. The more I think that I'm an independent entity, that I don't need God, koichi v'yotzim yadi, it's all me, that gets between you and Hashem. No. He's saying a deeper pshat in the words. He's nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. He's just explaining the words in a more pnimi way. That I, the sense of I, forget Moshe Rabbeinu. Anytime there's an I, there's a person who wants to be his own thing that gets between him the way he's supposed to be and Hashem. It disconnects him. It separates him from Hashem. Let me read you a lashon from Tanya Perek Vav. Maybe some of you remember. He says, Kol ma she'eino batal etzlo yizbarach elahu davar nifrad bifnei atzva. He's describing the Yetzer Hara. He's describing the failure of a person who's not bottled to Hashem, but how does he describe it? As something that's a davar nifrad bifnei atzmo, that it's its own thing. The sitra achra is about being its own thing. A Jew who believes in Hashem says there's no other thing. Ein od milvado. There's only him. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's only one. There's only one thing. And it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when there's Gaiva, when there's Gassus, when there's Hagba, when there's a Malik, Ram, when there's Anochi, when there's a davar nifrad bifnei atzmo, again the lashon of the Tanya Perek Vav, so then all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to become weakened in the hands of the Sitra Achra. The Sitra Achra thrives, it lives off of Gaiva, lives off of Gasus and Hagbah. Because the Metzias is Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. It's a perfect pasuk. To what degree is Hashem the Melech? Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. To whatever degree Gaiva, pride and honor is His. When something else takes Gaiva or pride, Kavod, Gaiva, Gasus, Hagbah, something else, right? Pasuk says, Ram Al Kol Goyim Hashem. Hashem is Ram. Hashem rightfully has Gaiva. Hashem Malach Geus Lavesh. He's the true Melech. But when someone else takes Gaiva, when someone else takes Kavod, when someone else takes his Malchus, then the Sitra Achra gains power. And he quotes the Pasuk in Ovadia. Im Tagbia Kanesher. Im Tagbia Kanesher. Isn't that interesting? Someone tell me from Thursday why that Pasuk is interesting. Im Tagbia Kanesher. I don't even have to tell you what the rest of the Pasuk says. Why is that interesting? Why is this a nice choice of a Pasuk for us? Based on everything I just explained in the last 3 minutes. Again, the second thing we need to do real tshuva is what? Is to crush and to destroy the Sitra Achra. Because it lives off of Gaiva, off of Gasas and Hagbah. And we explained how Amalek, the root of all negativity, is Gematria Ram. Anochius. A sense of... What did I say?
What's Ram?
Ram? Elevated. High.
That's like the definition of...
Hagbah. Gaiva. Right? Why does the Gemara Sota say, Hashem says, I can't be in the same world as the Baal Gaiva, because you know how the Baal Gaiva walks around? The Baal Gaiva walks around with his head outstretched. Look at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. You know it's usher to walk around with an outstretched head? You know it's a halach in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says, we wear yarmulkes. Right? We wear yarmulkes, sort of like a statement of fact. That's what Jews do. And it's usher to walk around with an outstretched head. There's a tshuva from the Maharshal, where Shlomo Luria writes, he says, I see Jews, there are some Jews who are very particular about wearing a yarmulke, and yet they're big Bali guy. He wrote this tshuva, and in this tshuva he gives mussar to them. He says, look in Shulchan Aruch. Wearing a yarmulke, at this point you have to, a Jew has to. It's a minhag that's become mainstream to the point that it's a halacha, but if you look in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, where does the Chaber write a lot stronger? He says, what's worse, usur, to be a Baal Gaiva. Right? Don't say it's the such. Says a Jew covers his head. He says a person shouldn't walk Dalet Amos with an uncovered head. But then he uses very strong lash, usur, to walk with an outstretched neck. So that's based on that Gemara and Sota. A person who walks around with an outstretched neck drives away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Because you're taking up a lot of space. Hashem is called Makom. Hashem is supposed to be all space. You're supposed to be mevatel yourself to a nothing and make room, a lot of room for Hashem. When you walk around with an outstretched neck, so to speak, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have space for Himself. So therefore, if you try to be a Dover Nifra, again, if you're a Baal Gaiva, Im Tagbia Kanesher, why is this pasuk interesting, based on what we learned in our Chaim HaKadosh on Thursday? No? Because he said that Amalek is Asher Karcha Baderech. And how did he understand Asher Karcha Baderech? The suddenness. Without any warning, how Amalek can get the better of you. And we explained that's why you can't let down your guard. You have to always be alert in the battle. And the comparison that the Rechaim HaKadosh made of Amalek, the suddenness, Asher Karcha Baderech, he compared it to what? To an eagle that swoops in. That 1 second, a bunny's hopping through the field. Remember I said a bunny hopping through the field on Thursday? A bunny's hopping through the field, the next second it's in the clutches of the eagle. So same thing here, Tagbiya Kanesher. Right? That imagery of a Malik is associated with this Nesher. That flies so high and swoops down and takes advantage of those who are totally vulnerable. That's what the Sitra Achra does, that's what the Klipa does. And it thrives, it feeds itself off of our Gaiva. And therefore we have to try to what? To crush it, to destroy it. To grind it to dust. Literally, to crush it to the dirt. Zohi misasa ubitula. When it's made batel, it dies. When it doesn't have anything, chametz. Chametz is the Yetzahara. Everyone knows the imagery of chametz, that it rises up. Right? The Radbaz in that famous tshuva says, chametz is aser b'mashu. A crumb of chametz is aser. It's not batel in a billion. Why? Because the chametz is meramis to the Yetzirah. And a bit of gaiva, there's no room for a bit of gaiva. It's one of the few areas where the Ram says we have to be extreme about in Hilchos Deos. Gaiva, we go to the extreme in our humility to try to get away from this midara. So if I can crush it to the dirt, that is its misa, and that is its vital. Let me read you one more lashon from the Tanya Perachov Tess. In Tanya Perachov Tess, he explains this idea that if you can crush the Sitra Achra and pull out its gaiva, then you mavatal it. You destroy it. You kill it. He writes in Parachav Tes, "Umesalik mimena hakolach v'rishus shenasan la lagbia atzma neged or kedushas nefesh alukis." When a Jew fights back against the Sitra Achra and he crushes it and he takes away its permission that it's really granted itself, or that you have granted it to be big and to be powerful, to confront your neshama, which is objectively, infinitely greater than the Sitra Achra. But if you allow the malach to be taken away in chains by some foreign force, right? And now you begin to fight back and you take away that rishus and you break the chains and you remove its power, right? He says, V'oz memela b'teila v'nidchis k'bitel ha'choshik m'bnei ur ha'gashmi. In that moment, when you don't give it anything to raise itself up on, right? When the eagle is not able to soar so high anymore, because it's been caught on the ground, and you tie it to the ground, and it's attached to the ground, even if it's the highest of animals, of creatures. When you're mevatalit in this way, right? It's like the bittel of choshek mifnei or hagashmi. It's the same way that the darkness can dissipate by turning on a light. So he's saying the way to destroy it, again, is to take away the reshus that it's been granted to be so big, like bias atzma, to be its own thing, to be a davar nifrad b'fnei atzma, and that's how we're mavatli. No. So how do we do that? How do we take back the reign, so to speak? We're saying you need to be humble. So what is humility? How does that work? V'hainu al yedei lev nishbar v'nidka. We do this by what? Through brokenheartedness, by creating a sense of shiras halev inside of ourselves. Like it says in the Zohar Kadosh on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishvara. The Zevach, the Karbanos of Elokim, is a Ruach Nishvara, is a broken spirit, a meek spirit. Lev Nishbar Vinidke. Says the Zohar, look how the Zohar explains. He's explaining, this is a piece from the Zohar, he's explaining. Ki kol karban min abahema, hu l'shem havaya, hi midas harachamim. A karban is usually associated with Yudkei Vavkei. Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei. Adam ki akriv mikem, karban, doesn't say Lelo Kim, karban la, Hashem. Right? You bring a karban, it's a reach nichoach, la Hashem. So what is a karban to Elokim? Because the pasuk says, Zivchei Elokim, Ruach Nishpar. You see what the Zohar is doing here? The Zohar is picking up on the fact that normally karbanos are brought to Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Here the pasuk in Tehillim says, Zivchei Elokim, Ruach Nishpar. So again, let's read the Zohar's explanation. Ki kol karban, again, mina behema. First word in the line is behema, ha behema. Ki kol karban mina behema hu l'shem Hashem, hi midas harachamim. Aval l'shem Elokim, which is midas hadin, ein makriven karban behema. We don't normally bring karbanos to the Shem Elokim. Ki im l'shaber u'lahavir ruach hatumah v'sitra achra. V'zehu ruach nishma. The offering that we bring to Elokim is in the form of what? The karban of a ruach nishpra. Excuse me. Veich nishpra ruach asitra achra. So how do we break the spirit of the sitra achra? Kishalev nishpar v'nidka. By breaking the gaiva within ourselves. Because again, everything that we're describing as sort of taking place out there is really taking place in here. When we talk about the melech being taken into captivity out there, it's really your neshama has been taken captive by your body. When we talk about, right, destroying the Yetzer Hara, destroying the Sitra Achra out there, defeating the bad guys, taking away their power, it's submitting ourselves, it's giving over our own power. It's the lev nishmar inside of a person. Because I'll lev nishmar v'nidke, that's how nishmar ruach ha-sitra achra. That's how you break the spirit of the Sitra Achra. So again, there are karbanos where a person is proactively bringing a karban to Hashem. But the Zohar says there's also zivche elokim, ruach nishpra. There's a karban that's brought mitzad gvura through restraint, by not giving anything, right? But by holding back. How do you give by holding back? The answer is by being mavato oneself, by not being a baal gaiva, right? By having shviras halev. Give me one more second, I'll take some comments. V'heich nishpra halev v'nidke. So now you told me the way to defeat the sitra achra is through shviras halev. So how do I do shviras halev? Do I fast? Do I afflict myself? Is that a way to show that my body is not my own? There are very few who do those types of things or can handle to do those things today. How did David HaMelech kill his Yetzirah? Chazal say on the pasuk, "V'libi chalal bekirbi." My heart was still within me. Shahargo betanis. So David killed his Yetzer Hara. He killed the Sitra Achra. He starved it to death, literally. But we can't do that. So we go and we have ourselves a nice hearty meal. We're feeling full. We're feeling good. Right? And we'll only go to a mikvah if it's like a nice warm, hot mikvah. We're not cracking ice and snow to be tovel. And we're not fasting bahab. So we're big bali gaiva. Which means that there's a lot of sitra achra. Which means that the melech is asur baratim. Berhite mocha, like you said. That the king is held captive. And the king has lost his crown. And the king is being stuffed into a base of kisei. So what do we do? How do we give this power back to Hashem and be mevatel the sitra achra? Ach ikar ach nos halev lios nishpar v'nika v'avaris ruach atum v'sitra achra hu lios mimari d'chushbana ba'omek hadas. How do we come to Shviras Halev? In one word, thinking. Cheshbon HaNefesh. That's right, Rav Amla. To be Mimarei D'Chushbana. Not just people who occasionally think, but to be Marei D'Chushbana, masters of Cheshbon HaNefesh. The way that we start to get the kingdom together is that we take control once again. Yetzirah, if we would stop and like pay attention to where our thoughts are over the course of a day, if we had to walk around, if you just decided for a day, walk around with a little pad, right? And anything you can think of, write it down. And if you just see where your mind goes on any given day, we're not in control where our eyes go on any given day. We're not in control. The tzaddikim wouldn't move their body, they wouldn't lift their head, they wouldn't move their hand, they wouldn't raise their eyes. They wouldn't let a thought enter into their Kodesh Kedashim with their heart and their mind without a cheshbon. That everything was lefi a cheshbon. So we have to fight back by what? By saying to the Sitra Achra, whoa, you're a big baal gaiva. You think you're in charge here. You think you can do whatever you want. And you can. I'm taking back the power. To become mari de cheshbon abba omek hadas. Laha migdaito binaso sha achas b'chol yom olay lefnei tikun chasos. That before you come to tikun chasos, which is the time where you're lamenting the fact that the king has lost his crown, and you're hopefully re-establishing and longing for the restoration of that crown, you need to sit for an hour, by day or by night, hopefully sometime perhaps before Tikkun Chatzos, liyizbonin b'masha pol v'asa b'chata'ov, b'chinas galas ha'shchina, to think and to try to internalize, what did I do? It can't be this image that, like, oh, I once read in the Baal HaTanya, that when a person does an Aveira, so that makes the Melech Aluv. It makes the king, right, scorned and disgraced. And it's like taking the king and sticking his head into a filthy place. But I have to meditate on that. And I have to think, I did X. X caused the following damage to the king. I did Y. Y caused the following damage. And to really be broken over that. That's Lev Nishma. That's Shviras Halev. You don't need to fast. You don't need to roll around in the snow. You don't need to afflict the body. You need to stop and think, look how much galus hashchina I caused. Look how much I've disgraced the kingdom. Look what I caused. Look how I've caused my soul to be detached from the source of life. I took it from the place of life into a place of unholiness and death. Into the heichalos of the sitra achra. and I became a chariot on which they're riding around. The Sitra Achra is sustaining itself for me. L'kav me'am shefa v'chiyos l'ashpiyah l'gufo k'nizkar l'el. V'zeo sh'amr, two lines on the bottom. Chaver, give me 2 more seconds. V'zeo sh'amr, because we're going to have to stop. We're not going to finish the parak. Let's just turn the page. V'zeo sh'amr chazal, this is the famous Gemara in Brachos Yudches. Rishayim b'chayayim kriyam mesim. We know how to translate. We know what he's going to say in this Gemara based on what we've learned. A Rasha, when he's alive, is considered dead. Ah, but he looks so alive. And he is so alive. He ate chametz on Pesach and he's still alive. That was our question in the fourth parak. How is he still alive if he ate chametz on Pesach? Why didn't he get kares? Because the Rasha, the chayayam, is really dead. He looks alive, but he's really dead. What does that mean? Chlomar. That they're sustaining themselves not from the true source of life, not from Hashem, but it's sustaining itself from what? Of ice cream and donuts, to go back to last week's mashal. That eventually you're going to get very sick, and it's going to become very unhealthy. So you're alive and I'm alive. Right? You're eating your Brussels sprouts and your broccoli, and I'm eating ice cream and donuts, and we're both alive. Our bodies are functioning. We have the energy to survive. Yeah, but let's keep going like that. Let's see who's gonna last. So who's really alive and who's basically dead? Just a long, drawn-out death. So therefore, one who's sustaining himself from the place of Tumah and from Misa itself, from the Sitra Achra, I'll turn the page. V'chein, as the Pasuk says, Mashakosuv, lo ha-mesim yahal luka, v'lo kol yardei duma, telem kuf tezvav. What does it mean, lo ha-mesim yahal luka? We're not making fun of the dead. When we say that pasuk in Halal, we're not saying, haha, look, those people are in the cemetery, they're not alive anymore, they can't praise you, but we can. You know what we're really saying? Ela kavona al rishon, shebechayayim kruya mesim. A Rasha who what? Who in his life is really dead. In what sense? Shemebal b'lim osam b'machshav ozaros b'odam b'risham, ve'enu chafetzim b'tshuva kenota. That their minds are full with all sorts of bilbulim. So much so that they're convinced that they're mamish, that in fact they have a better life. They're living it up even more than we are. But in reality, the Sitra Achra is just taking them for a ride. They're a Merkava. They've literally become a chariot, not a Merkava l'shchina, not like the divine chariot that the Avos were, and the Tzaddikim of all the generations are, and remind ourselves of Amichulam Tzaddikim. But we're being taken for a ride. The Yitzhar is riding around with us, right? He's feeding off of us. He's giving us the false impression. That what? That we're, yeah, look what you did. You're one of us. You're part of our team. And in reality, all of that kavod, all of that gaiva, all of that honor that the Sitra Achra has given you, all of that life that it's given you, he's feeding you refuse. He's feeding you garbage. And it's blocking you from doing tshuva. Okay? So we'll stop here for today. I'll take a couple comments. But Amir Tashem, we'll finish this parak tomorrow. And again, we'll try to understand how we work on these two things. Number one, to have rachmanis. This is the derech ha-emes va-yashar to tshuva. Number one, have rachmanis on yourself as you and as Hashem. And number two, Oveh Hashem Sinura, to start destroying the Yetzirah. And to destroy him means to take the gaiv away from him. To make him stop and think, is this how you want to live your life? Do you really have a right to make these choices and to say these things and take me to these places and to crush that spirit of confidence that he has and to take back control of the kingdom? Okay?